Unless you like to walk around. You
can... I might want to do that. You know. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some money, and then that maybe I'm kidding. You weren't expecting that, were you? Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning, an honor, and it's, I think, my fourth time here. We usually here at around this time of the year, we normally do a Passover, but I think this year we're going to pass over the Passover and maybe wait until next year. But I do have a message, and I hope it's will be a blessing this morning. My name is Richard Tovaya. I'm a missionary with the Christian Jew Foundation, CJF Ministries, and I've been with them as a full-time missionary for the last 7 years. And I usually travel with my wife, but we have two children. One's five, just turned five. I have a one-year-old. And we have another one on the way. She's due on June, so it's a girl. And I was excited to be here, so I got a haircut, and I just... And so as a full-time missionary, what I'm doing is we're bringing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost house of Israel and the Jewish people. And, you know, there's we think of mission work, we think of overseas, and there's great work being done all over the world, and I praise the Lord for that. But there's also a mission work right in our backyard. Everywhere we go, our family, our friends, our neighborhoods, our country is also a mission field, rich in harvest, ready for people to pray and to share the good news about the Lord. And so that's why I live here. There's 100,000-plus Jewish souls that are in Arizona who need to hear the good news about Jesus. And so what does that mean is I do a lot of evangelism on the streets, downtown, ASU. We have a prison ministry. And to bring tracts and sharing the gospel, discipling people. And it's not just Jewish people, but our focus is towards them, but all people that we come across. And we also share the roots, the Jewish roots of our faith, which I hope to do to some degree this morning. And so we are focusing on grace. We're focusing on how the law, I mean, not the law. Well, the law is important, but but we've got a new law, a higher law, the law of liberty, the Bible says. And we're going to be looking at this morning, Lot's wife. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to actually, when we get into the message right now, what time do we end the service? Around 10 o'clock? Is it? Okay. Our main verse this morning is going to be Luke chapter 17. And I like to use a lot of scripture when I'm doing messages because I think there's nothing that can speak better than the scriptures itself. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so I can give my opinions and all my thoughts and what good are they, but the word of God will remain forever, the Bible says. So Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 26, and it says this, and that Jesus is speaking here, and it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff is in the house, let he not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And the verse I wanted to look at is verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. What's her name? And that's the title of our message this morning. You know, Jesus was one to give, he wasn't one to hold back what he is the answers and thoughts regarding his return. And I'm not... saying he's going to come back soon, but I do believe that he might. And so we look in the world today, and we see some comparisons to our world, to the days of Noah, to the days of Lot. And that's why Jesus is giving these words right here in Luke 17. So what is the similarity between our day and that day? Well, today, I mean, people are this was once a Christian nation. It was a nation that you would go to school and they would have a prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It would be a place where you can pray openly and say the name of Jesus. But now in many places you can pray, but you cannot say the name of Jesus because you might offend somebody. We live in a country now that you may not be able to say Merry Christmas during the Christmas season. And so it's a sad event that in our country that was founded on Christian principles, that we've come so far in pushing God away out of our society. In courthouses, there was the Ten Commandments on pillars of stone to remind us that we're following the laws of God, because the laws of man were founded upon the laws of God. So we don't want to look at those things, so we push those away. And so as a result, we have a society today that are much like in the days of Noah, where they were eating and drinking, and there was not giving a second thought about the Lord. And sadly to say that even many believers have fallen into this mindset as well, where we're living in ease and comfort. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but it is wrong when we live a life like that at the expense of forgetting about the Lord and forgetting about all the people around us who need to know about the Lord. That's when it gets, I think, we're in muddy ground. And so Jesus is saying all these things, comparing the day of Noah to our day. Even when I'm going out on the streets and giving away tracts, I'll see people sitting in restaurants where you can now sit outside in most places. And no one's interested in the tracts as they used to be. No one's interested in hearing the gospel like at one time. And they would say, no, thank you, and just go on. But today I'm seeing more aggression, more an anger towards God's word. What am I doing here? Like, what are you doing? You know, how dare you come to me and give this thing to me? Sometimes I do door-to-door evangelism. And most times it works out pretty good. There's people open to the gospel. Some receive the Lord, both Jewish people and Gentile people. But you have the odd person who is just not very happy that someone's at the door. And the people who are the biggest obstacles are people who call themselves believers, believe it or not. And they're the ones that are, I'm talking to them, and I'm not trying to force anything on them. I'm polite, and I'm just, telling them I'm here to share the good news about Jesus. And then they're getting more irate the more they're talking with me. And so we're living in an age where we want the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of our flesh, at the expense of forgetting about the Lord. That is why the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. And so we're going to be looking at the Lot's wife. Now, the funny thing is about her is that the entire Bible, as you look for her, you never find her name. So that's why I'm saying, Lot's wife, what's her name? So here Jesus is commanding us to remember Lot's wife. We don't even know her name. So obviously that wasn't important in the Bible for us to know her name. But what was important is something that she had done. Her attitude is what we're to remember. As we live in the days today, as we see the economy faltering, we see the country we're living in, America, changing quickly. The world is changing. What should our attitude be regarding the Lord? So we're going to be now looking at Lot and looking at his wife as well. So I'm just going to turn now to 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to go in verse 4. I'm not going to read it's only going to be a few verses here. And it says this. And it's speaking about Lot. And it says, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, for if God hath spared the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning, verse 6, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes of condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly. And verse 7 says, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And verse 8 says, for the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. So the Bible does say that Lot was a righteous man. He was a godly man. His soul was vexed when he would be in a company of people who hated God. And they lived according to their own righteousness. And they did whatever was right in their own eyes. I don't know about you, but as I see the country changing, my own spirit is being vexed as we're seeing the sin and the pain of so many people. And one thing that, vexed my spirit is I was watching TV not too long ago, and they were showing the sins of the world, and we know it's a wretched place in many places. And there was a reporter on, we went to, I think, Thailand, and there's a slave trade, and there's a place you can go where there's where you can have relations with anyone, anything you want in this house, or in this building, I should say. But one thing saddened my heart was that the reporter was allowed to go in the farthest back room of this building, and every room had young boys and girls, and then at the back of the room, the door was open. It was full of little girls that were 8 years old, given into this. And my heart broke. My heart was just sank into my own chest. And I'm thinking to myself, how can this be? What kind of a world is this? And I'm thinking, God, don't you see these things? I was looking at God and asking and saying to him, don't you see these things? And it wasn't very long before the Lord rebuked me in my own heart, in my spirit. He tapped me on the shoulder and he said, excuse me, you're sitting on my chair. Because I was looking at God and thinking, I'm a mere man, a sinner, and I'm grieved by the things of the world. And where is God? Why isn't he doing anything? The Lord reminded me, I'm looking at this program and I'm seeing it for maybe 5 minutes, and he's seeing it on a daily basis. So our hearts are vexed like Lot's heart of the world and of the sin of the world and how horrible it really is. See, there was a reason why in the Old Testament that when they would sacrifice animals, especially in the Day of Atonement, there was like thousands of lambs slaughtered that day. So around the temple area, there was a lot of death, a lot of blood, and the stench of death. And the reason why the Lord allowed this, he even said that he doesn't have pleasure in those things. But this was a picture for the people of Israel to see how horrible sin is in the eyes of God. See, a lot of us, when we think of sin, we're thinking that, well, I offended my brother, I lied to him, and so on. But sometimes we forget that we have also offended the Lord. See, when David sinned against Bathsheba and took her and committed fornication with her, killed her husband, and then he repented, he said, how could I do this wicked thing and sin against the Lord? When Joseph was serving the Pharaoh, the wife of the Pharaoh, grabbed the cloak and wanted to lay with Joseph. And Joseph, he ran. He said, how can I sin against the Lord? And so there's a grieving in our hearts regarding sin, and how much more in the eyes of the Lord. So now let's focus on the Old Testament and get a picture of Lot. So who is Lot? Well, we know from Genesis 13, you don't have to go there, that Lot was a nephew of Abraham. And it says in chapter 13, you don't have to go there because we're going to look at a lot of verses. In verse 2 it says, Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And there was a time in the Old Testament that Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and Abraham himself, they were living together. And they were both becoming very wealthy and successful in their business regarding cattle. And so the Bible does indicate that there's no sin in being rich. There's no sin in having a lot of good things in this world, in this life. Because what made Abraham different and Lot different than maybe other people in the world at that time is that their focus was not in the riches that they were given, but rather in the one who is able to give these riches. See, their eyes were focused on the Lord. And Abraham's heart he loved the Lord. And Lot was a righteous man. He loved the Lord. And so God blessed them with the riches of silver and gold and cattle. But what happened is that both of the family of Abraham and the family of Lot, they began to grow. They had maidservants and manservants. And their businesses began to grow to such an extent that there was a bit of a strife between the two. So Abraham says, according to the Bible, to Lot, he says, I want you to choose. Let us not fight between ourselves and your servants and my servants, but rather you choose, and you choose first. Now, this is showing that Abraham, he loved Lot. He loved him a lot enough to allow him to choose first. He says, you choose first. Where do you want to go? You want to turn, go to the left or go to the right? And wherever you choose, I'll go the other way. And I don't want to fight with you, Lot, but I want you to choose first. So Lot looked around and he saw the different places that were available to him. And he says, I want to go this place. So Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah because it was lush. It was green. It had a lot of trees and it looked like a good place to raise cattle. And then Abraham said, so be it. You're going to go there and I'm going to dwell over here in the desert. So Abraham was a man who walked in faith. And he knew that his riches did not depend on the greens and on the cattle, but it depended on the God of Israel, the God who is able to provide. Yes, the stock market is falling, and the world around us is changing. And I even getting caught up in the fever myself of what to do, and you know, should I buy gold or should I buy silver? And you know, so I'm calling these brokers and you know, watching these commercials. Call us and we'll gold. Yeah, and the guy says, the guy that has a haircut like mine, he says, buy yours. If you don't, I'll buy mine. I'm thinking, what a weird strange statement. And I have lots of friends that are, they've been buying gold for 30 years and silver because gold is a real currency. Our dollar is simply a note in the bank, but gold and silver has always been used as currency throughout the ages from the beginning of Abraham and Lot here. And so it's easy to get caught up on what are we going to do? How are we going to protect our families? It's wise to do that to a point. But we also must remember that these things, there's no promises in this world except for one. And that is if you believe in the Lord, if you seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, he will provide for your needs. I heard about a missionary in India very recently. And there's always been a Christian movement there. And so there was one Christian who was in a small little gathering. He met another Christian. This Christian was saying that, the Bible says that, I think in Psalms, that David said, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. And then this other man says, that cannot be true in India. And the other man says, I think it is true. And it says right here. And so they made a little agreement together that they're going to go throughout India and different places and asking Christians, is anybody hungry? And so there was a period for, I think, a month where they had a team and they would be going traveling in different towns nearby in India and trying to see if there was any Christians who were hungry in need of food. So after when all this was done, they came back and they had another meeting. And the man that was in doubt said to the man who shared this verse, he said, you know what? You're absolutely correct. Even though we live in a land where there's poverty, I've never found the righteous going hungry. So we must set our focus on the Lord, that he is our provider and not the stock market and not President Obama and not gold and silver, but we must focus on the God who can provide for our needs. Abraham, he ended up in the desert, and yet the Lord blessed him. And the Lot, he chose the lush places of the world, but look what happened to him. So now Lot chose the lush places of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Bible says he got entangled in the lifestyle of that place. Because things back then are not different than today. That in major cities in the world today is where you're going to find the most crime, the most murder, the most break and enter, the most stolen cars. You go into the rural areas of the place of the world, and you're going to find less of those things. So Sodom and Gomorrah was the New York of its day. It had the wealth. And had all the beauty and all the different things that would attract the eyes of man. And so it did with Lot. But he became entangled in the lifestyle that was around him that vexed his own spirit. So now we're going to look at Genesis chapter 18 and see what was the result of the choice of Lot. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to spend some time on 18 and a little bit of 19. And we're just going to look at the first three verses in 18 of Genesis. And it says, now, there's a lot of interesting things happening here. There's a lot of we're going to be looking at that might surprise you in these next two chapters. And it says, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, appeared unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, there was three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. I just want to stop there because it's very interesting that you had three men. They looked like men. And they came before the tent of Abraham. And Abraham saw them coming. But somehow he knew that one of the three, it was the Lord. Now, the word here is L-O-R-D in a capital form. So when you go to the old text, that refers to the Y-H-V-H, where we get the word Jehovah, Yahweh. So Yahweh appeared with two other men before Abraham, and Abraham bowed and worshipped the Lord. So I just find it interesting that he was able to distinguish who was the Lord and who were the other two men who were actually angels, but yet they looked like men. And so, and through this chapter here, they're conversing, and Abraham fetches a meal for them. So they sat and they ate, and they had fellowship together. So in this chapter, the Lord says to Abraham and to his wife, you're going to have a son. And Sarah didn't believe, and she even laughed. And she was hiding, well, not hiding, but she was inside the tent, laughing to herself. And then the Lord says to Sarah, did you laugh? And she said, no. And he said, yes, you did. And then she stopped laughing, and later on this became true, that the prophecy, the promise that Sarah had a son, and his name was going to be Isaac. See, the reason why this was so important in the Old Testament is because it started with Abraham, and then followed with Isaac, and then with Jacob. And then down the line would come our Savior, Jesus Christ, would come through this lineage. So God had a plan from the very beginning, all the way from Adam, that he was going to choose a family, he was going to choose a nation, and that to them that would come Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jesus would be a blessing to all the world. Now let's go to verse 20, to the same chapter. And then the Lord tells Abram the purpose of another reason why he's there. And he says in verse 20, he's talking about now Sodom and Gomorrah, and it says, and the Lord said to Abram, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sins is grievous, I will go now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And then the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abram stood yet before the Lord. And Abram drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then he goes and has this big discussion. If there was only 50 righteous people saying to the Lord, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord says, no, I will not. And Abraham says, oh, forgive me for asking another question. But if it was 40, so I went all the way down to 10. No, the Lord says, I will not destroy the city, because if there even be 10 righteous. But here it says, the other two, they left, and they went towards Sodom. And the Lord is speaking here with Abraham. And so. Does the Lord find 10 righteous in Sodom? And the answer is no. And so now we're going to go to the next chapter of chapter 19 of Genesis. And it continues on with the story. So the Lord remained back with Abraham. And then the Bible says the two angels went forward to Sodom and Gomorrah. And in 19 it carries on with the same idea. It says, and there came the two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in. Now see, no, it's not a capital L-O-R-D. It is small L-O-R-D. Turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and I will wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. So Lot even knew who these two men were, that they were angels, that he would bow down to them and call them small L-O-R-D. And he was going to wash their feet because he was a righteous man, as we just looked at. And then the next verse says, talking about the wickedness of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him, and he entered into the house, and he made them a feast, and they did bake unleavened bread until they ate. Verse 4 says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people of the quarter, of every quarter. So here, the angels now are going into the house of Lot, and all the people, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, knew that there were strangers in Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so here they compassed, they made a circle around the house. And it says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him in verse 5, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them unto us that we may know them, the Bible says. And this is revealing the wickedness of the hearts of the people. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he says, I pray you, brethren, do not so do wickedly. Then Lot says something that's totally unusual and strange. And I don't think that I would ever think this, but this is what Lot says. He says, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them in unto you and do as you will and as is good in your eyes. But only on these men do nothing, for therefore came the under the shadow of my roof. So here, Lot is saying that, here, don't touch these men, these angels, but take my daughters. Now, I don't understand that. And the Bible says he was a righteous man. He was just. But would you be willing to give your daughters? I don't know if I could do that. But Lot, that's what he did. Now, the Bible says here, and they sat, and they said, stand back. And then they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. This is the people of Lot. This is what they're saying. I mean, people of Sodom, which they're saying. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to almost to break the door, the Bible says. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them. The angels pulled Lot into the door. And then they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? And so son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So the angel is now saying to Lot, do you have any family members? Because we must leave now. But we will destroy this place, the Bible says, in verse 13, because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, isn't it strange that when people, they love sin, that there will be a great cry in the city? Why is there a great cry in the city? And the reason why is because sin brings pain. It brings pain to the innocent, the young, those who are they're not able to defend themselves. And they're crying up to the Lord because the pain, I believe, in Sodom is so great. And then it says in verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and he said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, it's the same with us. We become saved. We're on fire for the Lord. We go to our families and we say, turn to the Lord, repent, because there's a great salvation that God has given us. And sometimes our own family will turn to us and they will mock us. Because, well, sure, come on. You've done other things, like you were into Buddhism, you were into witchcraft, and this is just another thing. And so the sons-in-law of Lot, they mocked Lot. Now look at what else happens here in these verses. And it says, verse 15, and when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which were, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So now, I'm going to go to verse 16. So the next event is verse 16, and it says, when he lingered, the men laid hold upon the hand of his wife, the hand of Lot, and the hand of the two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him out with outside the city. And so here the angels are telling Lot, it is time to go. But Lot is kind of lingering around a little bit, along with his wife and the two daughters. And so the angels of the Lord said, we must go now. And they grabbed the hand of Lot. They grabbed the hand of Lot's wife. They grabbed the arm and hand of the two daughters. And they literally pulled them out of the city so that they can be saved. Because the Bible says the Lord was merciful unto Lot and his family. So Lot was the just one of the family. And God loved Lot, but he also had mercy on the family. So when you become saved, the Bible says, God loves you. He loves the whole world, but he also wants to see your family saved. So we must keep our family in prayer. We must be willing to share the good news. Invite them to church. Invite them for the programs you have in this place so that they may have an opportunity to turn unto the living God, because the Lord, he loved you, he saved you, and he wants to save your family. And God loved Lot and his family, that he would literally grab their arms and pull them out, dragging them out. And this is not the way the Lord deals with us sometimes. Sometimes the Lord calls us to do a particular thing, and we linger and we go, I don't know, well, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. And sometimes things happen, circumstances in our life, where the floor just goes away from underneath us. And the Lord is saying, it's not going to be next week, it's going to be right now. You know, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You know, then other versions say, now is the day of salvation. There's times to plan and think ahead and way in the future. There's also time to do things immediately and to do it now. Another example would be, there was Moses, who was attacked by the Pharaoh and the chariots, and they were at the Red Sea. There was nowhere to go. They were cornered by the Red Sea, the mountains. And here are coming the chariots and the soldiers. And Moses was praying, Lord, you know, we're in a big trouble here. Help us. And God says, stop praying. Stand up. Lift up your staff. And go. You know, sometimes we can hide in fear in prayer. We can use prayer as a way to hide our fears and not having to act upon what we should be doing. There's a time to pray. The Bible says to pray always. But the Bible also says there's a time to live and act in faith. To stand up and now finish your praying and now go. So Abraham and Moses, he went across the Red Sea. So now, Lot, they left with the angels and his family. Now, look what happens here. So now they're pulled out of the city. In verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad, and that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou and all thy plan. Escape into the mountain, lest thou be consumed, the angels were saying to Lot. And here, look what Lot said to the angel in verse 18. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed me in saving my life. I cannot escape into the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Now, this was a man of faith. I mean, he was a man that was righteous and just, the Bible says, but yet he had a lacking of faith. The angel said, go over there. You're going to be safe there. And the angel, and then Lot says, no, 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 I cannot go there. What if something happens to me? Isn't that strange how the Lord can do things in our lives and we could praise him and say, oh, yes, I'll do this for you and do that for you, Lord. And the Lord says, but I want you to do this over here. Oh, no, I can't do that. That's too hard. Can I just stay here? Or I'll just go over there. I'll just take a little step here. And then maybe a while I'll go over there. We're no different than Lot. Lot was a just man, but yet he doubted. So we are believers in Jesus Christ. The Lord counts us justified in his eyes. And we're like him. We have our doubts. We have our weaknesses. We're all stumbling and struggling to live this Christian life. But the Lord is still very merciful. He loves us. He's still holding us by our hand. And then so the angel says, that's okay. You want to go there? You can go there. Now, let's look what happens next. In verse 24, it says, Now the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. This is a very important verse here. This is a verse that is so powerful. And sharing with Jewish people, sharing it with Jehovah's Witnesses, and other maybe people of other religions. The reason why is, the Bible says, then the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, Yahweh, he rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, in heaven. No, there was one Lord that was with Abraham, remember, at the beginning? And now there's a Lord in heaven. So the Lord rained fire and brimstone from the Lord in heaven. You have two Lords. Now, we who are believers, this is not a big deal. There's Father and there's the Son. Now, remember, the Jewish people and Jehovah's Witnesses, they only believe there's only one God. So this verse is a verse that you can share and have them chew on it for a while. Because there's two Lords. One is saying, the Lord that is on the earth, that was with Abraham, and now he's standing there outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, reigning from the Lord out of heaven. Capital L-R-D for both of them. And it says in verse 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities which grew up on the ground. So everything was destroyed. And then verse 26 says, but his wife, he looked back from behind him, and then she became a pillar of salt. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that we must not be like the world, not have attachments to this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We are to be like Abraham and to focus on God who's able to provide for our needs. And Lot, I believe, had that same faith. But his wife looked like a Christian. She might have sounded like a Christian. She heard the truth because she had Lot right there. She knew Abraham. But yet, she might have looked like a Christian outwardly. But inwardly, her passions, her heart, was not towards the Lord. It was towards the city where they left. And that's why the angel says, when you leave, don't even look back. But go forward. You know, in Jesus, when he called his disciples, he said to them, don't even look back. Go forward. Those who look back are not worthy to become my disciples. And here, Lot was taken out with the two daughters and the wife. They never looked back. But the wife of Lot, we are never given her name. And yet, there was a moment there where she began to already miss the place. She was only gone for 5 minutes. And then she looked back. And that was the end of her. And she became a pillar of salt. Because she had a love for this world. So may we also remember Lot's wife, that we may not have a love for the world like she has had, so that when the world is changing, as we see changing around us, our faith is fixed forward. We're not looking back at what happened behind us. We're not looking back at our sins, where the places we failed, the places where we wronged our fellow man, where we've wronged God. We can come to the Lord in repentance. The Lord will forgive us and wash away our sins. And so we can always go forward in faith when the world is going good and when the world is not going so good. And the Lord is faithful. He loves us. And we don't know Lot's wife's name, but the Lord does know your name. He knows your name. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there will be a time in heaven. Each one of us are going to be given a name on a stone, and no one else is going to know it except the Lord. It's going to be between him and you. He'll have a special name for you that just him and you and the Lord will have. The name. And so I'm just now going to close with one verse, and then I'll say a prayer. The adulterers, in James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So this is very serious matters. So we're living in a time that we can reflect on what do we really believe in? What are we standing on? Where have we built our foundation? Is it on the sand, the promises of the world, or on the rock, which is Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word to remind us that you are the provider. You're the great and awesome God who loves us, who holds our hand and takes us wherever we should go. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.